Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle reading from Romans chapter 7. Well, have you ever had difficult directions to follow? I'm sure you have, you know, particularly if you're building something, you know, you get those directions in there, and sometimes they're hard to make sense, and I want to give you an example here this morning. This is a three-drawer dresser. Say that fast three times, all right? A three-drawer dresser from IKEA, all right? Okay. Oh, yeah, you already know. Isn't that great? Yeah, you got to love this. You got to love this, truly. All right, it starts off with English, all right? Those are the directions there in English, and it begins this way. Important information. Read carefully. Keep this information for further reference. Warning. Serious or fatal crushing injuries can occur from furniture tip over. To prevent this furniture from tipping over, it must be permanently fixed to the wall. Fixing devices for the wall are not included since different wall materials require different types of fixing devices. Use fixing devices suitable for the walls in your home. For advice on suitable fixing systems, contact your local specialized dealer, right? That's how this begins, all right? So you start off with this big warning here, right off the bat here. And the interesting thing is that this warning here is printed in 29 different languages, all right? So you got this. And then that's the last words that you read. Because after that, you don't have any more words. You have pictures, drawings, all right? And they tell you how to put all these things together, you know, and they use these stick figures in there. And some stick figures have smiling faces, and then there are other ones that have frowning faces. Now imagine this. You got all these pictures here. Now one of these pictures here shows 13 different kinds of screws. That just alone. Now, if say you're putting this together with your spouse, all right, and you interpret these directions differently, you better hope that there's a lot of love between you because it's going to evaporate rather quickly. Now, I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes you read things and they're difficult to interpret. Now, take our epistle lesson for today there from Paul. On the surface of things, when you read Paul's letter there, it's kind of hard to make sense and kind of hard to follow along with what he's saying. Especially when you read it and talks about a woman who's in marriage here and her husband dies. They must have been putting a drawer dresser together or something, you know. Anyway, right now as you're considering this Paul's letter here, I want you to think of a ball and chain. Now, I'm not talking that marriage is a ball and chain here. I don't want you to sit there and think that, particularly since my wife is visiting this weekend and she's looking at me with this, oh, really, look right now. Love you, honey. No, I'm talking about Paul here is what he's referring to, the Ten Commandments, all right? The law. Now, consider the law there as the ball, all right? And it's chained to us. The law is permanently fixed to us. So we can't get away from it. It's always there. And every time we start thinking that, well, you know, I can pick up that ball there and carry it, you know, thinking that, well, our good works will help lighten the load there with that, well, that ball gets bigger every time. So the more we think that we can follow the law, the heavier and bigger that ball gets, so that, no, we can't do that. So what ends up happening then is that when we're thinking about the law and the commandments, instead of thinking of them in pleasant terms, well, we start thinking of them in hateful terms. Hateful, because instead of us thinking we can keep them, we realize that we end up failing to keep them. And when we fail to keep them, well, then we realize too then, well, what happens? Well, the law then, those commandments, end up condemning us. Well, that's a hard thing. Now, when all this is going on here, the fact that it condemns us, another thing happens. Well, we start thinking, well, I got to get rid of this ball and chain here. How can I do that? Well, it prompts us then to look for a way out. It points us then to Jesus. He's our way out. We're looking for a Savior. That's the whole point of the law, is to realize that we come to understand that we can't keep it and that we need somebody to save us from that. And so that points us then to Jesus, who is the only one who was able to keep the law perfectly, who ended up then offering up his life for you and me so that we might not have to follow the law. He set us free from the law. Now, understand what this freedom is like. Paul uses an example there of a woman whose husband dies. Now, since her husband is gone, you might say that the marriage contract is no longer binding here. Think of it in those terms. Because of his death, then, she is free then to marry again or not as she chooses. She has that freedom since she's been released from that marriage contract. You see, this is what Paul is there saying and using this comparison here, that when we are freed from the law, we are freed from the effects of the law. And what are the effects? Well, again, the law points out where we've sinned. You can think of that as one of the rules there that of the law. It shows us when we look at that. Well, we can go down the commandments there and find out, well, I kept that one, I kept that one. I didn't keep that one. I broke that one and that one. All right? Points out where we failed. And what's the consequence of breaking just even one of those commandments? Consequence of breaking commandments, death. Hard to get away from that one, is it not? But yet, Paul points out that Jesus is the one who died in our place. We're no longer condemned by the law. The law is no longer a binding contract on us. Now, does that mean that we don't have to follow the commandments anymore? No. Rather, ask the question, is the law still good? Does the law still apply? Well, sure it does. It's good to honor your father and mother. It's good to worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The law is good, but when we fail it, it no longer condemns us because Jesus has set us free. And that freedom? Well, that we call forgiveness. We live under that. Jesus says, take my burden, it is light. Sure it is when you no longer have to carry the burden of the law with you all the time. You have been set free. You are now free to serve the Lord under a different motivation. You can respond to that love, no longer looking at the Lord then with thinking, it's like, you know, seriously, Lord, I got to keep all those commandments, really? No, rather, because of the love that you have for the Lord, you're looking at all those things there as things that you can't do. When you love the Lord your God and have him first, you will naturally not lie. You will naturally not take the Lord's name in vain. You will naturally honor your father and mother. That's the kind of love and attitude that we have when we serve and love the Lord your God. That's how the original commandments were written. That if you followed him, you wouldn't be doing these things. It wouldn't even occur to you to want to do them. Think of it this way. Somebody sinned against you, and what do? You hold it against them. So instead then, you know, instead of you being the victim now, you're the one holding that hate against them. You ended up murdering them yourselves. See, the Holy Spirit's within you, just as the Holy Spirit points you to a Savior because you have sinned. The Holy Spirit is within you to encourage you to look at the commandments differently, to keep them, to naturally not want to do those things. So you're going to want to tell the truth and not lie. You're going to want to love your parents as opposed to hate them. You see, you got to remember that we're the ones who have been forgiven. And so when we've been forgiven then, we pray that, in fact, every Sunday, do we not? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now notice I said praying the Lord's Prayer too. Because you can say it. You know, that's why I got it printed out there in the bulletin all the time now. So that way when you read it, you are praying it as opposed to saying it. Because when you're praying it, then you're taking that to heart. You're taking what the Lord has given you to heart as well. You see, Jesus has freed us from us relying completely on ourselves to be in a good relationship with God. And that's the difference when God gets involved here, when God comes to our rescue. He rescued us when we couldn't do anything about it. And that puts us in a position then to rely on him and that's faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. So therefore, when we rely on Jesus and love him all the more, astounding things begin to happen in our lives. We see God in a new light. We see how much he cares for us. And it also helps explain what Jesus is talking about there in our gospel reading today. When we put God first and love him so much, it looks like we're hating everyone else. Well, Jesus doesn't say hate everyone else, but it's going to give the appearance that when we love him so much, it looks like we're loving everybody else less. Point is, it's quite the opposite. When we love him so much, we in turn love others so much. Now, granted, we're not perfect yet, okay? There's lots of people sitting around us that can point that out. But yet, we'll also find that there are some folks who are easier to love than others. But again, what example did Jesus use there in our gospel reading for today? He talked about family. Family should be easy to love. But when we get our priorities mixed up, though, like depending on us to get into heaven, well, then those kinds of things can get messed up even within our own family. But just because we're not perfect should not exempt us from loving our family anyway. And that includes our church family. For those who are sitting around you right now, they too have received the same forgiveness that you yourselves have received from God. So when you leave here today, keep in mind above all things what Jesus Christ has done for you. He freed us from the effects of the law. The ball and chain, that's gone. Jesus died to it first so that we wouldn't have to later. Rather, use the commandments that God has given us as a guide on how we should live our lives. Because when we see and recognize that something that we might do is a sin, we know that, we won't do it. But rather, in turn, we'll realize what God has done for us. Loved us so greatly that he would include us in his family, so that in turn, we can love others with a love that we ourselves have first received from God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.